This podcast is sponsored by Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com. On this podcast, we continue our discussion on Total Effect with Wes Cartwright. He shares advice on keeping things simple, choosing the right music, and making things tasteful.
I think most importantly, people have got to be tasteful. And the tastefulness of whether it's elegant and sophisticated, or if you want to do something that's a little bit more risky or dark or whatever, I think that it just has to be tasteful. I think a lot of times people miss that, whether it's music or visual or concept.
And he'll share some things that may surprise you.
You just try to imagine it the best you can to once the total concept is in my head. And I will tell you sometimes, especially with Broken Arrow and Bell in the day, I had no idea what the show was about until the last show, till the last maybe minute or last day. I didn't really know. And that was kind of the fun of it all. Not necessarily during the process, but you know, you just don't know. And then all of a sudden it became clear.
More great advice that all of us need from Wes Cartwright on the Marching Roundtable. This podcast is sponsored by FJM, Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com. FJM is one of the leaders in uniforms for marching groups, drumlines, color guards, and concert dress and choirs. This includes the FJM Cesario collection. At the recent BOA finals, 9 out of the top 12 bands were performing in FJM uniforms, including the top 5 bands. FJM also provides all kinds of accessories for marching groups, as well as flags and guard equipment. Find out more at fjminc.com. That's fjminc.com.
It depends on where each school is in their process.
What tools do you use when you're doing what you're now describing? For example, are you one of the people that storyboards the whole thing out and there's a clear visual drawing of it, sort of like an animated movie?
Yep. As much as, you know, I hate to admit, sometimes when it comes to picking out programs, a lot of it has to do with my own emotional effect at the time, you know, whether that means that, you know, whatever, it's not a win or lose thing. It's just where I am. So, it just from year to year, it's just different. I know the older I get, I'm hoping the wiser I get and the way you pick out things. And and I will say, and this is all kind of coming full circle, that it always seems to be more simple because simple is more effective and there's clarity to that. So yes, usually before the season is over with Tim, I'll start picking out the music. I'll already kind of know what's going on for next year with these groups because I'll see what worked, what didn't work, and this needs to be a different feel. Try to do the best I can to make sure the programming is way different than what we did the year before. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it not. And then from there, I come up with like a program sketch and put all that stuff together and depth of character for the dancers and the color guard, and then come up with the costuming. And yeah, and then I present the show in the meetings, and there we go. We're off and running. So
you go through the process you just described to sort of lay out how it's going to work, what it's going to be.
Yep.
Then you present it. Then what happens next?
It's called kind of like what I'm looking at a program sketch right now in my office, music events timeline. You know, you just try to imagine it the best you can to once the concept is, you know, in my head. And I will tell you sometimes especially with Broken Arrow and Bell in the day, I had no idea what the show was about until the last show, till the last, maybe minute or last day. I didn't really know. And that was kind of the fun of it all. Not necessarily during the process, but you know, you just don't know. And then all of a sudden it became clear. Some years, like last year, for instance, it was more clear. And that even, there was an evolution of that idea as well. So yeah, it just depends from year to year, kind of, you know, what happens.
Do you do that end of the process in a group? You're all talking about it, or is that a singular process?
Well, usually the concept and coming up with the shows is a singular process. And then, you know, the music design, and you know, Leon comes into play, and then we get together with the staffs to present the show. Yes. So, and it's different every year. No, that's okay. It's just, it's different every year and different with every school, just depending, because you know, it's high school situations and yeah. just like high school athletics. I mean, some years you may have graduation, some years you don't, just depends.
I want to go back just a little bit when you were sort of apologizing for things fitting your mood or your experience at the time. Actually, we find I'm really into creativity studies. And one of the things that we find with a lot of expressive artists, whether it's literature or painting or whatever, that actually it does become more and more introspective and personal as time goes on. And that's actually what makes them successful.
Mm-hmm.
So follow your muse.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, for me, it's always the music, believe it or not. Most of the time, I might have a character in mind or an energy of the character that I may want to explore, but a lot of it's the emotional effect of the music for me. And, you know, yeah, it just depends from year to year. So...
Well, that certainly seems to have been a constant in your work.
Well, trust me, I'm not one for these shows that are all introspective. And, you know, I don't necessarily want to see somebody's personal drama out there in the field. You know, I don't want to see what, and you guys know what I'm talking about because I can tell by your laugh. But, you know, I don't want to see that. You know,
we don't
I
either.
Just try. Yeah, amen. You know, I just want to see something that may be a little risky. It may, you know, be a little bit edgy with the character, or those kids are so good. I know sometimes over all these years, talk about Union or whatever, you know, the kids were so good with their character. Oh, there must be something wrong with it because it's too good. You know, as I've always said, America's motto these days should be great, but not too great, you know, because there's always something wrong if it's too good.
Right.
And, you know, it just depends, because I, you know, it still is marching band at the end of the day. It's high school marching band, in what I do. And, you have to just, you know, do the best job you can to make the right decisions for kids and everything.
Okay. I have to tell you, I don't understand that. So I want you to explain that one more time. When you say it's too good, so something must be wrong, can you tell me what you mean by that?
Well, I think a lot of times, and for me and my experiences over the year, and some of it may be geographical, is that, you know, the Broken Air kids, or was the Bell kids. And again, you got to remember where I grew up in Oklahoma. And even though I live in Texas and, you know, I love these areas, well, Texas for sure. But, sometimes the kids are so great at what they do in their character that, you know, always people think there's something wrong because it's too good. You know, because the girls are too expressive. Maybe this will nail it down a little bit. The girls are too expressive, especially Broken Arrow. You know, oh, they don't do this or they do that. Well, the body is the instrument, and those girls are responsible for feeling what they do, and it's got to be expressive. So, therefore, sometimes the expression becomes sometimes, you know, really, they really feel what they're doing. So therefore, it's all, you know, it sometimes is an issue. So did that help at all?
Yeah, I think so. And that was actually one of the other things I wanted to ask you is you do get edgy sometimes. And I feel like you always go to that edge, but never over, which is really a giant compliment, I hope. But
well, thank you.
But
you're correct.
How do you decide how far to take it? Because sometimes I'm like... This is, I think sort of what you just described. It's at such a level that I'm thinking, wow, like this would totally not be appropriate for every group, obviously.
Oh, no.
So that seems to me to be a real art to figure out what are these particular students standing in front of me capable of, and how do I make sure that I'm asking the right thing? Because we've all seen groups where they were asked the wrong thing.
Honestly, I have no idea where it comes from. It's my gut feeling. I know when something has crossed the line, and when I see, because you know, like I said, a lot of experimentation with character. The kids have to go through extensive training on just experimentation with mood, with energy, weight shift, creating sometimes like this last year was we created the, you know, the Blue Orchid character. And so you just, you know, it's just been a gut feeling, a gut instinct. You know, when people I think are funny, they think that something has crossed the line when I don't think sometimes it has and sometimes it hasn't. So, you know, it's just a gut feeling, to be honest, to answer your question.
So what would have been crossing the line with Blue Orchid?
Oh, I don't think anything crossed the line with that. No.
Okay.
Oh, no, no.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. I'm just talking about stuff in the past sometimes, you know. Kids are, you know, it's like short attention span theater these days teaching.
Yes.
And, you know, because they're all on their iPhones. They're all doing all this stuff. And so it's very hard to get their focus. I'm sure you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's very important to be engaging with them and talk to them and, you know, really try to shape and mold them to really use their minds and create. Let's create this character. Okay, this is what I think it could be. And by God, there'll be three or four kids over there that'll be doing something. That's it. Or 7, 8 over here. And so really, it's just, like I said, a big experiment. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And we put it together. So.
Well, the other thing, the impression I have, is that part of what allows them to go to the level that you're describing in the character and possibly get close to crossing the line, shall we say, is mm-hmm. The level of performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the part where I get comfortable when I see, for example, some winter guards where they don't have the skill level or the technique or something's missing. And then they're trying to do something that doesn't seem appropriate. So what would you say to someone that's trying to figure that out?
Well, sure. You just have to have a great foundation, first of all, of who you are. And, you know, when it comes to dealing with education and kids, I'm a very self-confident person. So they see that, and you just have to do the best job you can to, make sure they understand what you're doing. A lot of times kids go out there and they try all this stuff and it's overblown and whatever. And I hate to keep going back to that, but I mean, it just, you know, performance is performance, and you want these kids. And Joe would probably yell at me. I think we've actually had this discussion before. You know, a lot of this is what is competitive education, not necessarily education, because it is different in my opinion, and how I have to go back to get the kids to be competitors, not only be education, have a great foundation, but now you have to be competitive, you know, at the same time.
Yeah, but you do it by teaching performance fundamentals first. I have no problem with that whatsoever. It's in less accomplished situations when they're, you know, it's almost like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic with the things that they're talking to the kids about.
Oh, absolutely.
When they can't spin, you know.
Oh,
or that they're not of that emotional realm yet. I mean, doing a show with middle school kids about something that's way mature is not going to serve a purpose.
Well, and Mary, you're exactly correct with that, because I always tell these VA girls when they go out there, or even the first day I see them, all right, you do realize you have to be 32 years old here. I don't look at you as you being in high school. So emotionally, you know, and I just would rather tell them from the beginning, but yeah, you have, you know, there has to be such a good foundation of discipline. You know,
right.
and all of those things. And you have to show up on time. You have to be here and have to be present. So all that clearly is the foundation for what we do at the higher level of getting training kids to be great performers.
But you
really
also
bring the audience in.
You also give them that those thinking skills, and you expect them to use those thinking skills, you know, so that already is more mature and higher order than, you know, just keeping kids on the surface. You give them and you develop them through those skills the whole time. It's not just one day they have it.
Oh, and that starts exactly with them being just eligible, you know, to be able to do this, because Texas and Oklahoma has eligibility. See, so you have to make a 70. You know, just to get on the field. Otherwise, you know, that's, I think, my worst thing in the fall is that I have to check the ineligible list if there's anybody on it. you know, because then, you know, just have to rearrange chairs or rearrange spots or something, you know, but that it absolutely, they have to be, they have to think quickly. All the life education, life skills that they're learning, just to think quickly on the spot. If some, you know, I always say, if you make mistakes, you know, you're going to make mistakes, but you have to, what you do to make that imperfection a perfection is most important.
And to be stronger. Than most teenagers.
Oh, mentally tough. Absolutely. One of the top three things I have to be is mentally tough. Yes. Yep.
That's great. I want to go back to something you said like 10 minutes ago, I think, because I didn't get to ask you at the time, but I'm going to ask you to backtrack and I want you to clarify something. I was really intrigued that you said that sometimes you don't know what the show's about till the end of the season. Like, I know what you mean, but I still want to ask you to extrapolate that a little bit, because does that mean that you figured out, like, you said something about the emotion of the music being the jumping off point. So does it mean that you started there and then you went somewhere?
Usually when some projects over the years, say for instance, one of my favorite shows still of all time is 2006 LD Bell, The Remaining. I really didn't know. That was just, usually when I say that about those type of shows, the concept was first, then you put the music to the movie. But that, it depends on the year. Most of the time it is, you know, not, there's still great music regardless. Most of the time it really, like last year, I have always wanted to do Festive Overture, because being in Santa Clara, one of my favorite Santa Clara years was in 87. Mm. And I always wanted to do Festive Overture. So then, you know, that's how that occurred, and just the great strength of that coming out of there. And those orchids come to life from the beginning, you know, so, but some years, you know, that just wasn't the case. It was more of a conceptual thing, like popping out of a mouth on Face Me. You know, I thought that was cool. I want to do that. And so we just kind of, you know, that's more of a concept driven first. So in my mind, at least in once we finish Grand Nationals in November, you know, Tim, and now I'm going to go back with you 10 minutes.
okay.
Because you talked to me about what to tell people when it comes to smaller groups and, you know, what kind of help that you can give them. I think most importantly, people have got to be tasteful. And the tastefulness of whether it's, you know, elegant and sophisticated, or if you want to do something that's a little bit more risky or dark or whatever. I think that it just has to be tasteful. I think a lot of times people miss that, whether it's music or visual or concept. And a lot of times these people try too hard when it comes to these, you know, smaller groups or whatever. And they're trying to do, it's funny. A lot of times I see some of these smaller groups and their program sheets are way more detailed than mine are.
You can say that three more times as far as I'm concerned. I see it all the time.
I bet you do. There's groups of six, you know, have 60 or 80. And Joe, I'm telling you, they have three pages of just their opener, what they want to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll come to me, you know, in whatever, and I'll say, you need to get that down to three. Not three pages, three ideas. Because and it still has to be tasteful on top of that. And which I think correlates to everything when it comes to education, when it comes to picking out programs, when it comes to music, visual, depth of character, coordination, all of it. So.
Okay. So now I want you to channel your Tim Gunn, because I'm thinking about Project Runway right now, because a lot of times we're sitting and we're watching that. Go with me on this. So we're watching Project Runway, and the designer's standing up there next to some hideous outfit, and Nina will say, well, it's just a question of taste. And sometimes they will just say, this designer doesn't seem to have good taste or know good taste. So is that something you can learn? Like, there are a lot of people that are probably listening and they don't know that they're not being tasteful. So can we address that a little bit? I don't know. What do you say? How do you teach it?
Well, Where I learned it from is Maestro Cesario, because he's the one that taught me over all those years, he and Greg. So, I mean, I learned it from an early age, early 80s, you know, to when he would talk about having taste or artistry or coordination and clarity. So, yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know where it comes from, Tim. I really don't. I mean, I'm from the depths of Oklahoma. There's really no taste. We're sorry.
I mean, I would assume that it would come partly from having seen a lot of good things. You know what I mean? Like, if you've been to the ballet in New York, or you've seen great art, or you know what good fashion looks like, then you have a context. That's at least the only thing I have to offer.
And Tim, I hope that you got to experience that. But coming from Oklahoma, Wes did not get to experience good ballet or opera or even the symphony. So I hate to say it like that, but I have no idea.
But at some point you did. You saw good color guard. You saw good marching band.
Yeah, I think so. And I think once I moved to California in 89, you know, and then my eyes were wide open to it all. And, God bless Gail Royer. He was fantastic to me and with me and let me, you know, kind of do some things as well. And yeah, I did get to see, you know, 1990 starting to see things. And yeah, sure. I mean, it wasn't that I lived, you know, under a rock. It just things started to happen. And I just had this good feeling about what I liked and what was tasteful and what wasn't tasteful.
I think we can all agree that there's some people that almost have a taste gene. And for a lot of the rest of us, it is experiential things. We talk about that in the judging ranks all the time. You should be going to musical theater. You should be going to dance. You should be going to cinema, great restaurants. I mean, it's all part of the same affective domain and experience.
Reading great books.
Yeah. And, you know, anything like that too, you know, will affect whether it's, you know, I love going to Las Vegas. So that for me, sometimes, of course, you see it all. But, you know, you can see things that you wouldn't see everywhere else. I mean, it doesn't matter. I can be here in Dallas and see things or people or a color or something where or music or a voice or effects in a movie. I mean, yeah, there's a wide variety of things that you never know how that's going to work. And going back to those smaller bands, it goes back to that clarity, like you just said, Joe, as well. You know, those guys are so excited about what they're doing, but it really does need to be limited. And, you know, instead of maybe speaking through design of a paragraph, it should just only be a sentence, you know, for the whole 8 minutes that they're out there, and just start slowly. Because I know a lot of people make those design choices. So.
Sage words.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Tim, are you alive over there?
I think my head is about to explode, but I mean that in like a really good way. I'm just trying to take this all in. You know, Joe, every now and then we'll talk to somebody on the podcast and they've shared like 1,000 really helpful things in the span of like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like this is. So anybody that's listening, just start over and listen to this like three more times.
Rewind.
Take notes. I've been taking notes the whole time. And for what it's worth, Wes, I always mark down moments in the recording where I think there's something that would be great to like use as an intro quote or something. Like my whole page is black, so I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But anyway, you've given me like 55 great quotes so far. But that's, I'm just saying that as a compliment to you because you shared such a wealth of information. I guess we need to start wrapping this up. So I'm going to go Mary and then Joe. I'm going to ask if you have anything else you want to ask Wes, or to clarify, or something else we haven't talked about. Mary, do you have anything that you want to ask him, or a topic we haven't covered about this stuff?
Well, I have too much to ask him, but I was asked, will you come on again?
Oh, absolutely. I already had a great time. I would love to do that. Yeah, I had a great time.
We haven't even scratched the nostalgic surface of the color guard.
Kinda. You are correct.
No, I think we definitely need to have that conversation.
Yes.
I would love to ask a million questions about it. Well, Joe, anything you wanted to ask or clarify or?
Yeah, what am I going to have to do to get you to judge drum corps?
That time is coming soon, if you guys would have me. I right now the thought of having to ride in a van, if there's not Southwest Airlines everywhere, is not real cool right now. But no, that time is coming because I know Michael's done a great job of getting that thing going where the shows, you know, are more entertaining and Total Effect is starting to come back in, you know? So yeah, I think that time is coming.
Very cool.
Great.
I do think, I don't know if it's my turn or not. I do think in a world of it compulsory, if anything that challenge to the powers to be for the future, I do think that there seems to be a lot of compulsory going on. And, you know, the great thing about BOA is there's really no restrictions. You don't have caption awards and anything goes, anything can be effective. And I just, you know, I hope that we don't lose in some of these other venues as well, the art of what we do. And because a lot of times it seems like we're spending too much or we're doing this too much or whatever. And it just, we really can't lose the art part because I think that makes us really unique in what we all do. So
I just dropped my mic.
Well, I don't know how we can top that either. So Wes, I think we're going to stop right there. That was, this has been a thrill to talk with you and to hear you talk about all of these things. And it's really evident to me now from having this brief conversation, why you have the accomplishments that you do and why your shows look the way they do. And everybody, we're all better off for having you being a part of what we do. So thank you for what you contributed to our activity and continue to.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very grateful for all that's happened and grateful to you guys for letting me have the experience and the opportunity.
And you'll be back.
I'll be back. Yep.
That's great. Thanks, Bob. Well, thank you so much, Wes. You were just terrific.
Great. You guys take care.
If you enjoy our podcasts and find them helpful, please share information about the Marching Roundtable with a friend or colleague who might benefit from the information we're providing here. We'd love to hear your feedback about this podcast. Go to marchingroundtable.com and click on Feedback or Ask Tim a Question in the top menu bar. You'll also find discussion on current podcast topics at our Facebook page. Just search for Marching Roundtable on Facebook and join the discussion. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter. Find other podcasts about topics that interest you by searching in our podcast archives at marchingroundtable.com. And visit judgesregistry.com to see the best new way for contest promoters to find a judge, or for judges to be found, judgesregistry.com. All graduates of the Judges Academy get added to the Judges Registry upon graduation. Now you can get college credit for Judges Academy coursework through Vandercook College of Music. Find out more about the Judges Academy coursework at judgesacademy.com. Thanks again to our sponsor of this podcast, Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com. When you contact the folks at FJM, tell them you heard this message on the Marching Roundtable. Thanks to Wes for joining us on this podcast. This is your host, Tim Hinton. I invite you to hear my show arrangements and compositions for marching band at timhinton.com. Thanks so much for listening. The Marching Roundtable now has over 1,000 VIP members, listeners, and fans who are following our podcast closely. If you or your company sponsor one of our podcasts, you'll have the ears of these listeners and many more like them who download thousands of podcasts each month, hearing your sponsor message. These listeners also could see your ad on every page of our website, plus see your company name and a link to your website on our bi-weekly newsletter or where our podcasts are located. Find out more by clicking on Sponsorship Opportunities at our website at marchingroundtable.com or contact Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach.